with it. When the author of the books entitled The Tribes, Ephraim, and North Israelite Identity, I've also written articles appearing in the quarterly journal Tribesmen, of which I am the editor. All of these works are concerned with the present day identity of the last 10 tribes of Israel. They may be obtained from Yair Davidi, Box 595, Jerusalem, 91004, Israel. The subject of this present lecture concerns the present-day identity of the Lost Ten Tribes as proven by history. An overall synopsis of most of the historical evidence known to myself will be presented. Other lectures in this series expand on this theme and also expound on evidence from biblical and related sources. The present we are concerned with history. The major theme of each and every one of our works here too, for has been the Israelite origins of many of the peoples of Northwest Europe, especially those of the British Isles and their kinfolk overseas, in North America, in Australia, in South Africa, and New Zealand. The peoples concerned are on the whole unaware of their origins. In some cases they are antagonistic to knowledge of this fact. They do not know that their distant ancestors were once Hebrews. Most of the peoples of Northwest Europe and their descendants do not know that they are part of the Israelite people. That is, they do not realize that they are the same Israelites whose history is recorded in the Bible. These peoples do not understand that they are, in effect, long-lost brothers to the Jewish people. To those who are unfamiliar with this notion, I admit that the whole idea of these peoples being descended from Israelites may seem strange, to some degree incredible, or eccentric. Nevertheless, we have evidence to back it up. And we are on the path of truth in this matter. The fact is that in ancient times, the overwhelming majority of Israelites were exiled. And their identity was eventually lost to themselves and to others. The lost Israelites are commonly referred to as the lost 10 tribes of Israel. The lost Israelites more or less remained together in several groups. And then by different paths and at different times, they all eventually migrated to Northwest Europe. And from there, their descendants spread colonies overseas, in North America, in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. European nations that were settled by substantial proportions of lost Israelites are Finland, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Holland, Belgium, France, Switzerland, Ireland, and Great Britain. The Bible had prophesied that most of the Israelites would be exiled, that they would be cut off from the Jewish religious section of the Hebrew nation, and that they would be assimilated by the nations amongst whom they dwelt, and that they would be associated with the North American area and Northwest Europe, and they would do the very things that these peoples historically did do. The Talmud and related rabbinical writings also confirm this. Our emphasis at present is on straightforward historical proof of origin. I myself have been interested in this subject all my life. I have spent the last 15 years or so in a fairly intensive research concerning it. My sources include the Bible, commentaries on the Bible, the Talmud, Midrash, and similar works, as well as Greek and Roman historians, legends, general history, archaeology, and linguistics. We are now concentrating on a description of what happened rather than proof of it. Evidence for statements made and relevant references are to be found in the books and articles published by us. We intend to give you an overall idea of the historical background to this subject. Forefathers of the Israelite nation were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was also known as Israel. Israel had 12 sons from whom came the 12 tribes of Israel. Israelites, according to the Bible, went down into Egypt and were enslaved there. They were led up out of Egypt by Moses and then conquered the land of Canaan. This border reached from the Nile River up to the Euphrates River and included in the west, southeast Turkey, then known as Cilicia, and also the Isle of Cyprus. All of this area had been promised to the Israelites in the Bible. The Israelites at first were united in one kingdom, and the King Saul was followed by King David, and David was succeeded by his son King Solomon, who built the temple in Jerusalem. When Solomon died, he was followed by his son King Rehoboam. Before he died, Solomon had been taxing the people quite heavily. So after his death, representatives of the different tribes came and requested his son King Rehoboam to tax them less than his father had. King Rehoboam, son of Solomon, refused. So the northern ten tribes split off from the southern two. The northern tribes formed their own kingdom, headed by Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. There were therefore two separate Israelite kingdoms. In the south, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin were ruled over by King Rehoboam, and his kingdom in the Bible sense was referred to as Judah. Its capital was Jerusalem. The northern separate kingdom was named Israel. It was called Samaria, one of its capital cities. Sometimes the northern Israelite kingdom is also referred to as Joseph or as Ephraim, in honor of its predominant tribes. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, is the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel. Jeroboam saw that the people of his kingdom had been accustomed to go up to Jerusalem on the feast days 3 times a year. Jeroboam therefore modified their religion. He set up 2 golden bull calves for the people to worship. One he set in Dan, the other in Bethel. He also, according to the custom pronunciation. Jeroboam also appointed people from the lower classes as priests in place of the Levites, who had previously been the hereditary priests and ministers. Consequently, most of the Levites left the northern kingdom and moved to the south to Judah, as did other peoples from the north. The split between the two parts of the Israelite nation happened, according to the mentioned accepted dating, around 928 BCE. About 200 years later, in the period between 740 to 720 BCE, the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and exiled all of its inhabitants. They also conquered large portions of the southern kingdom of Judah and exiled more than 200,000 people, according to an Assyrian inscription. This number of 200,000 plus in those days must have accounted for a substantial proportion of the people of Judah in the south. Those who exiled from Judah joined those who exiled from the northern kingdom. People from Judah in the past had also colonized Cilicia in southeast Turkey. This area of Cilicia or Cilicia was known as Yadi, which means Judah in Assyrian. Yadi had been attached to the northern kingdom of Israel. Inhabitants of Yadi were exiled along with the northern Israelites. The people from Yadi, at least the ruling elements amongst them, were from Judah. And they were attached to the northern ten tribes and exiled along with them, as were many from the southern kingdom of Judah itself. There were thus many people from Judah amongst the exiles from the north. There were those from Yadi, and there were also those whom the Assyrians took directly from Judah in the south. On the other hand, some refugees from the northern kingdom did manage at the time of the Assyrian conquest to take refuge in the south in Judah. A whole portion of Jerusalem was apparently populated by them, according to archaeological evidence. I have seen the excavation of a house in the present Jewish quarter of the old city of Jerusalem, where there is evidence of newcomers dwelling in this house with Egyptian culture and certain customs that were more pertinent to the northern kingdom, and it is believed that these newcomers were people from the northern kingdom taking refuge in Jerusalem at that time. It follows that the northern exiles included people from Judah, whereas those in Judah in the south included people from the north. Even so, those exiled from the north are known as the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel, after the original northern ten tribes were split away in the first place. People from the southern kingdom of Judah were not exiled by the Assyrians, who were later taken away by the Babylonians, who destroyed the first temple in 587 BCE. Some of the exiles from Judah had to return to the land of Judah and were headed by Ezra and Nehemiah. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah in the Bible are census lists of those who returned to Judah. Only people from the tribes of Judah, Levi, and Benjamin are mentioned in those books. Even though amongst the Jews in exile there may have been a small portion of people from the northern tribes, as other sources suggest. Despite this, according to all accounts and according to all sources, they were a minority. Most of the northern tribes had disappeared, as well as a good portion of those from the south. Those who had disappeared, according to biblical and Talmudical sources, lost their identity and became assimilated culturally amongst the nations with whom they were resettled. The present-day Jews of today are descended mainly from those tribes that have been the southern kingdom of Judah. Even though some people from the north did reattach themselves to Judah. Also, over the centuries, some of those who had been taken into exile from the northern group did reattach themselves to Judah. By Judah, I mean the present-day Jewish people. The Khazars, for instance, were a people in southern Russia, many of whom, especially amongst the leaders, converted to Judaism in about 700 CE, or AD. Note, BCE is BC, and CE, in our nomenclature, is AD. The Khazars were descended from the Lost Ten Tribes, according to their own traditions and according to traditions of the Jews who were acquainted with them. The Khazars are also known to have been related to the Anglo-Saxons, to the Scandinavians, and to the Picts of Scotland. The Khazars were thus related to these peoples and also to the Lost Ten Tribes of Judah. And also to the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel, and reattach themselves to Judah. They thus form a connecting link between Judah and peoples in Northwest Europe. The exile of the northern Israelites to Assyria and to Assyrian possessions was complete. It ended about 720 BCE, and after that time, there are no remains of the northern kingdom of Israel discernible by archaeologists. Archaeologists have found nothing remaining after the time of the Assyrians. Nothing that is that they can definitely relate to anybody from the northern kingdom of Israel. Midrashic sources do suggest that a small minority, maybe 12% from the north, may have remained. And there are indications that a minority amongst the Jewish people may have been descended from those. This is only a minority, a relatively small number. And there, so far, there is no archaeological evidence that shows any real evidence of any of the northern tribes remaining. The overwhelming majority, if not all, of the northern tribes disappeared. The Bible says that all of the northern tribes of Israel were taken away. So does the oral tradition say essentially the same. There is an Assyrian inscription, or group of inscriptions describing the conquest of Samaria. Samaria, which was the capital of northern Israel. This inscription says that the city of Samaria was taken. The king of Assyria took 28,000 captives for himself and exiled the people to Assyria. This inscription is sometimes taken as proof that only a very small proportion of the people of the northern kingdom were actually exiled. In other words, the inscription is misinterpreted. The inscription does not say that. On the contrary, the inscription itself is talking only about one out of about 600 Israelite cities that the Assyrians captured and whose inhabitants are exiled. And they did this after a siege of 2 or 3 years, during which many of the inhabitants of Samaria may have been killed or died out due to starvation and pestilence, as was a common event nation times when cities were besieged. The inscription itself is understandable as saying not that there were only 28,000 from Samaria sent into exile, but that the king took 28,000 captives for his own use, or for the use of his army, and the rest of the people exiled to Assyria. Either way, the inscription does not prove that only a portion of the people were exiled, just the opposite, and helps to prove it. There are other Assyrian inscriptions that which these other inscriptions confirm that all of the Israelites were exiled. The exile took place in stages. And we have an Assyrian inscription saying that the Assyrians took and destroyed all the cities of northern Israel and exiled all of its inhabitants, and left only a small remnant in the south around the city of Samaria. Later we have other inscriptions taking of the taking of Samaria and the exile of all its inhabitants. These inscriptions, when considered together and in chronological order, prove that all of Israel was exiled. The separate group of inscriptions talks about the Israelite tribes east of the Jordan being exiled. Altogether, all of the Israelite areas were conquered and all of their inhabitants were taken away. The regions of Assyria. We have no archaeological evidence of any Israelites remaining. We do have archaeological evidence and inscriptions concerning people from the former land of Israel being found in various portions of the Assyrian Empire after the time of exile. The Bible also says that all of Israel was exiled. Does the Bible and archaeological evidence confirm that all of the northern peoples of Israel were taken away and resettled by the Assyrians in other places? Israelites, before being exiled by the Assyrians, had practiced idolatry. According to the Bible, they had gone in the ways of the nations around them. They didn't mix with them and had adopted their ways. That was why they were exiled, says the Bible. Midrashic and biblical sources say that the northern Israelites had ceased to practice circumcision. According to the prophets, they had been divorced by God. They had been cut off from Israel in the spiritual sense. Nevertheless, the Bible says that they had a role to play in history and are destined to return. According to the Talmud, Yevamot 17, even though they are destined to return in the present time, wherever they are, the lost 10 tribes have the status of non-Jewish Gentiles in every way. Before they were exiled, the Israelites of the exiled northern 10 tribes have been pagans in effect in their religious practices. In addition, the Assyrians had a policy of forcing subject peoples to adopt the Assyrian religion and Assyrian culture. The significance of this observation regarding their religion and custom lies in the fact that in Northwest Europe, the descendants of these Israelites often historically displayed a mixture of Hebrew and Asian Middle East traditions. The Assyrians had a practice of absorbing other peoples. They would uproot a people from one area and replant them elsewhere. The exiled peoples were used to colonize border regions and also to populate the cities of Assyria. They were employed in the armed forces. And later, most of the Assyrian armies were composed of foreign auxiliary units drawn from exiled populations. Exiled Israelites became very prominent in the Assyrian army. Some of the most important officers of the Assyrian army were Israelite exiles, and these were given leading positions. Israelites were settled in Manai, which is in northern Armenia, but were also resettled in the Caucasus region and along the southern borders of the Caspian Sea, and in Hara, which is on the border between Iran and Afghanistan. Later settled by the exiles from Assyria were those in which they first appeared, peoples known as the Cimmerians, Scythians and Goths. These peoples first appeared not long after the Israelites had been exiled. They appeared in the same areas to which Israelites had been sent shortly beforehand. These peoples, Cimmerians, Scythians and Goths, were either all of Israelite descent, or at least Israelites were a significant component amongst them and became identified with them. The first to appear among the Cimmerians, Scythians and Goths were the Cimmerians. amongst the Cimmerians, there were three discernible evidence elements known as the Umanmanda, the Sakai and the Guti. The Umanmanda were the Cimmerians proper, the Sakai were the Scythians, and the Goths were known as Guti. Cimmerians were referred to by the Assyrians as outcasts. At first they had served in the Assyrian army and then had rebelled. The king of the Cimmerians was referred to in the Assyrian inscription as King of Amorites, which means literally King of the Amorites. The Amorites were Canaanite people whom the Israelites had conquered and whose land the Israelites had taken. In the Bible, the term Canaan and Amori were applied both to specific Canaanite peoples, but were used interchangeably as generic overall terms for all of the non-Israelite peoples in the land of Israel. After the Israelite conquest, Amorites as a recognizable entity had disappeared. But in Mesopotamia, the term Amorite, which means Amorite, continued to be used for the whole of the Israelite and Assyrian area. The Assyrians used old-fashioned archaic terminology as much as possible. In the Assyrian inscription in which the king of the Cimmerians is called King of Amorite, the Assyrians are also recalled. And there they expressly describe its enemies as the king of Amorite and his people. Since the term Amorite in Assyrian terminology, since this term meant only Israelites or Assyrians, or Syrians, and since the term is definitely not being applied to Assyrians in this case, then the only people who could have referred to must have been the Israelites. The only people this expression Amorite could apply to in the said context was the Israelites, meaning the Israelite exiles. The Assyrians called the Cimmerians Gimri or Gamura. In the Bible and in local Armenian tradition, the Cimmerians were identified with Gomer. The name Gomer in the Bible is applied to two different peoples. The first Gomer was the son of Japheth, son of Noah. Gomer is also the name of a woman mentioned in the book of Hosea, which is the first book of the 10 minor prophets in the Bible. The prophet Hosea, in the first and second chapter of the book of Hosea, is told to go and take a loose woman named Gomer, from G-O-M-E-R. From this woman he had three children. The children were given names describing the 10 northern tribes of Israel, whom Hosea says were destined to be exiled and lose their identity, as indeed did happen to them. One child described by Hosea was called Jezreel. This name, the prophet explained, was connected with God causing to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Hosea 1:4. Another child was called Unpity, Loruhama. In Hosea 1:6, for I will have no more mercy upon the children of Israel, says God. In the book of Hosea, a third child was called Not My People, Lo Ami in Hebrew. Why? According to Hosea 1 verse 9, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. These names are only referring to the northern tribes of northern Israel. They are not referring to Judah, which was especially excluded by Hosea. God said that upon Judah of the time spoken of, he will have mercy. Hosea 1:7. Later reconciliation takes place apparently in the last days, and the children are renamed and given favorable names. And the children of Judah and the children of Israel, meaning those of the northern tribes, are reunited in Hosea 1:11. This parable shows the northern Israelites becoming identified as children of Gomer, meaning children of the loose woman from whom Hosea bore children. They are shown as losing their unknown association with the God of Israel. And according to the rest of the book of Hosea, they are shown as being exiled. The parable hints at the fact that the exiled Israelites would for a time amalgamate with peoples who identified with Gomer, son of Japheth. The Cimmerians were known as Gomer, G-O-M-E-R. Places mentioned in Talmudic literature, such as Nadab and Afriki. See the book, The Tribes. Such places as those are shown to be they in which the lost ten tribes were exiled according to these same Talmudic sources that say that Gomer the son of Japheth and his sons settled there. We have archaeological, linguistic and mythological evidence that Israelites were present together with the Cimmerians in their kin, and that the Israelites significantly influenced them. We thus have indications that the Lost Tribes of Israel were to be linked up for a time with Gomer, meaning the Cimmerians and the peoples associated with them. Cimmerians and exiled Israelites overlapped. They were both settled in the same areas. The Assyrians, after exiling the Israelites, had begun to transform their empire, beginning from the time of Tiglath-Pileser III, 745 to 727 BCE. The Assyrian Empire is referred to by historians as the Neo-Assyrian, or New Assyrian Empire, with changes in art styles and general culture, and also in the military organization and tactics. The Assyrians introduced cavalry and increased emphasis on chariotry. The Israelites under King Solomon had been leaders in the usage of chariotry, whereas cavalry and the innovations associated with it is ascribed to the Cimmerians. An important area for the training of chariotry and cavalry for the raising of horses was Mannai, where both Israelites and Cimmerians were present. Stables for use in Armenia near Mannai were based on the Israelite pattern. That is, stables for horses that archaeologists have excavated in the land of Israel, the typical Israelite design. And this design was later repeated in the Cimmerian associate area linked with the time of Assyrian occupation. Officers in charge of Assyrian cavalry bear Israelite names, and all chariotry units were composed of Israelites. In other words, the combination of Israelites with the Cimmerians and company may have been initiated by the Assyrians for military reasons, even though it later backfired upon them. At all events, the Cimmerians first appeared in 707 BCE or in 715 BCE, according to another opinion. At first they were in the Assyrian service and they rebelled. They killed Sargon, the king of Assyria, in 705 BCE, but were beaten off. After which some of them appear as again serving in Assyrian armies, while others invaded the neighbouring states of Phrygia and Lydia and present-day Turkey. In about 676 BCE, a new element emerged from the Scythian and Cimmerian ranks, known as Ishkuzar and Asakai. These names are related to the Hebrew name Isaac, some proof of which is given in the book The Tribes. At all events, these names, Vishkuza and Sakar, represent the Scythians. In 673 BCE, the Assyrian king Esarhaddon slew the king of the Scythians, who was replaced by another Scythian, who married the daughter of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, and entered into an alliance with Assyria. Esarhaddon was followed as king of Assyria by Ashurbanipal, who possibly with his Scythian 8 drove the Cimmerians out of the Middle East and out of Asia Minor Turkey and forced them into Europe via the Balkans. Cimmerians in Europe moved along the Danube Valley. And in Austria they conquered the local Hallstatt civilization and formed their own culture. They became known as the Celts. In the course of time the Cimmerian Celts moved westward into Gaul and into the British Isles. The Cimmerian origins of Celtic civilization were recognized by Greek and Roman writers such as Homer, Hesiod, Strabo, Diodorus and Plutarch and others, in fact by nearly all of them. Also archaeological remains show that the founders of Celtic civilization had come from the Middle East area and were horse riding people. The source writers that they can have been identical with those Cimmerians who had served previously in the Syrian forces. Sophisticated mining methods and the art style show that the newcomers had arrived from the Syrian-dominated Middle East region. Welsh tradition says that their ancestors had come from a place called Defrobani, which was opposite Byzantium. They call themselves Cimmeri, which means Cimmerian. The place where the Welsh said they came from, Defrobani, is probably the same as Daphne, which was a foot opposite the side of Byzantium and once been a Cimmerian area. Welsh said that they had been led by Hugh Gardon from Defrobani to the area known as Defenni in southwest Britain. Defenni is another form of the name Daphne. Daphne of Antiochia, according to Tumman, was one of the places to which the Lost Ten Tribes had been exiled. Daphne was also the name of the area of Dan in northern Galilee, according to Josephus. In other words, Dan and Daphne were interchangeable names. Which is interesting because in southwest Britain, the area of Defina was also known as Danonia. Danonia, which has the root Dan. Danonia is a place to which Hugh Gardon brought the Cimmeri. He brought them from where? From Defrobani, which is identifiable with another place called Daphne. Opposite Byzantium. And who did he bring? He brought the Cimmeri, which name is another form of the name Cimmeri. But the Cimmeri of Wales and the Cimmeri of Denmark were Celtic peoples. And all of the Celtic peoples were attributed Cimmerian origins by Celtic, by classical writers. In their movement westwards, the Celts linked up with other peoples who've been transferred over the sea by the Syrians and resettled in Spain. The Israelites, before being exiled by the Assyrians, they had at times been a powerful people, even a group of peoples, since each people, tribe, upon occasion, could act as a separate nation in its own right. Some of the Israelite tribes have been seafarers. In the Song of Deborah it is asked, why does Dan dwell in ships? See Judges 5:17. Zebulun and Asher were also linked with Seagong enterprise, as were other tribes. The Phoenicians were Seagong people who dwelt along the coast of Syria and Lebanon. His two main cities were Tyre and Sidon. Phoenicians had a monopoly on the importation of tin, which they mined in the British Isles in Cornwall. Tin and copper were needed to make bronze, which in the Bronze Age was the main metallic alloy. In those days, the production of bronze, the supply of its metallic components, was as important as the supply of oil is today. In the Galilee on the site of Dan has been found evidence that Dan was once a metallurgical centre for the production of bronze. An analysis of the tin used indicates that that tin came from Britain. Israelites had dwelt in the Phoenician areas and participated in Phoenician culture and in Phoenician trading enterprises. Part of the Phoenicians were in effect Israelites. The Bible speaks of Israelites participating in seagoing adventures with the Phoenicians in 1 Kings 10:22, or they had undertaken seagoing adventures on their own account, as suggested by 1 Kings 22, verses 48 to 49. They had been accustomed to circumnavigate Africa and sail to Tarshish in Spain. From there through the Straits of Gibraltar they had continued eastward, returning to the Middle East. And the Assyrians conquered northern Israelite areas. They also conquered Phoenicia and dismantled Phoenician settlements in the Middle East and replaced Phoenicians in the Middle East with Greek colonies. The Assyrians resettled the Phoenicians elsewhere. Some they placed on the Persian Gulf in the east, and others they placed in Spain in the west. In the west, the Assyrians must have wanted to gain control of the supplies of tin found in Britain and Spain. And indeed, a city was soon flooded with bountiful supplies of tin at cheap prices. Among those resettled by the Assyrians in the west, or at least in Spain, were Israelites. The indications that together with those Israelites resettled in Spain, some initial settlement was also carried out in the British Isles and maybe in Gaul. But most of the Israelites moved to these areas at a later date. In the Bible, Tarshish is the name given to Spain, where there is an important city known as Tartessus or Tarsis to the Assyrians. In the Bible and with the Assyrians, the term Tarshish appears to be ambiguous and may also refer to both Britain and Spain, which places at that time were closely connected concerning trade and concerning the production of tin and valuable metals, the silver and gold. The Assyrians claimed to have gained control of Tarshish, and there are also some signs of Assyrian and Middle Eastern cultural elements in Britain about this time, that is after around 700 BCE and later. During the period of Assyrian conquest from 750 to 720 BCE, southern Spain was suddenly populated by people bearing an old Syrian Phoenician type culture, such as that some of the Israelites had once used. Some of the building features associated with this people are the only or best parallels in the former kingdom of Israel. In the area of Tartessus, near present-day Gibraltar, was a port named the Port of Manasseh, and other names of Israelite peoples are found in the area. There were the Galatae named after Gilead in Israel. The Messenae, whose name derives from Manasseh, it was the port of Dana, named after Dan, and the people of known as Chalubi or Calubi were named after the clan of Calubi of Judah, and so on. There were also the Dorians, who came from the seacoast province of Dor in Manasseh in the land of Israel. Metal produced in this area was known as Sumerian metal. It was named after the city of Samaria, which had in the past been the last capital of Israel, of northern Israel before the exile. The people concerned call themselves Iberi, which is the form of the name Hebrew. The Celts of Britain and Gaul were said to call themselves Iberi or Iberi, and the name is considered a Celtic one. The Bible mentions the exiled Israelites being taken to the isles of the sea. The Bible hints at a strong connection between the exiles and Tarshish. It talks of Israelites being taken away in large boats and in the fishing craft. Explanations for some of the above statements are a little complex and depend upon a detailed analysis of certain passages in the Hebrew Bible. Full explanation is given in my book, Lost Israelite Identity, and the leader or listener is referred there. Israelite prisons in southern Spain lasted for less than 200 years. From the south of Spain they were eventually driven northwards into the northwest of Spain, and from there they were eventually forced to leave and went on to Gaul and overseas to Ireland and to Britain. Before they left Spain, they joined up with Cimmerian Celtics coming overland, and they received aspects of Celtic culture. Irish legends confirm the findings of archaeology. The description just given above described exiled Israelites having been sent overseas by ship having been settled in Spain, from there having moved to Gaul and the British Isles. This description was derived partly from the Bible and partly from archaeology. It's also affirmed by Irish mythology. Irish legend tells how their ancestors were in Egypt at the time the Israelites were there, how they included Israelites among their ranks, how they once kept the Mosaic Code, how they came out of Egypt at the time the Israelites did. Some versions of Irish mythology say in effect outright that they were Israelites. Other Celtic sources also say the same thing. The British Celtic historian Gildas, in around 500 CE, said several times that the Celts of Britain were descended from the lost ten tribes of Israel. Irish and Scottish sources say that their ancestors were Scythians who came out of Egypt with the Israelites. And they then went, according to the Irish, to Spain. And they were driven in Spain into the northwest of that country and eventually took boat and sailed to Ireland. Some of them later moving on into Scotland and Britain. Scottish and all early British sources also say approximately the same as the Irish ones do. These Celtic legends just overall agree with what the Bible and archaeology says. They serve to identify the Celts with the lost ten tribes of Israel. Linguistically, the Celtic tongues of Ireland and Wales have underlying Semitic elements and vocabulary which is consistent with Israelite origins. They also have Indo-European components and overlying superstructure. Nevertheless, the Israelite elements are present, can be discerned, and according to some authorities, actually predominant on a local level. The Druidical religion of the Celts contained Canaanite, Middle Eastern and Hebraic customs, places and ethnic names indicate Hebrew origins. The place named Issachar after Isaac, and river named Tamaras after Tamar. People named Dana after the tribe of Dan. The tribe of Dana had, according to legend, come from Lebanon. The part of the tribe of Dan had been. The numerous place names named after Baal, the Canaanite god. The northern Israelites had worshipped before the exile. Was a Gadani tribe in Scotland named after Gad. The Simeonian Simuan, named after Simeon. It was a goddess named Makkah, named after Makkah, the patriarch of Manasseh, nation Israel. The people named as the Golodon, named after Gilead of Israel. The Celts in the British Isles, and also in Gaul, called themselves Hiberni or Hiberi or Hiberi. All of which names are forms of the name Ivri or Ivri, meaning Hebrew. There are literally hundreds of names showing Israelite origin found in the Celtic areas, especially in those of Britain and Gaul. We have traced part of the Israelites to the Iberia, Spain, Gaul and Britain, the Cimmerian Celts of the West. In our study of the Cimmerians, we earlier noticed that the Scythians had been part of them, had broken away from them and allied themselves with the Assyrians. We shall now turn to reconsider the Scythians, who were ancestors to the Anglo-Saxons, to the Scandinavians, to the Franks, and to other Western peoples. The Scythians were referred to by the Assyrians as the Skuja and Saka. And these names are forms of the names Isaac. King of the Assyrians had made peace with the Scythians. Out of the Cimmerians had been driven out of the Middle East, the Scythians remained. The Assyrians were attacked by numerous enemies, such as the Medes and Babylonians and Elamites. And so the Assyrians came to rely more and more upon their Scythian allies for protection. The Scythians, some allies, graduated to become protectors, and eventually they're effectually rulers of the Assyrian Empire. They took de facto control of this empire for a period of 28 years. The Scythians, at the time of their hegemony over the Assyrian Empire, established a center at Beit Sha'an in the former territory of northern Israel. Archaeological evidence Egypt, Israel, and parts of Philistia. And the symptoms as the Scythians became predominant over Assyria, King Josiah, the son of Ammon, 628 to 609 BCE, ruled over Judah in the south. Not all of Judah had been exiled by the Assyrians. As we said, those who remained, those from whom the present-day Jews are descendant, continue to exist as an independent kingdom. Under the reign of King Josiah, the Jews of Judea became independent. King Josiah extended his dominion in the former area of northern Israel. He smashed idols and pagan Celtic centers. He set up colonies of Judeans in Philistia, in the former northern area. He set up a colony in Megiddo in the north near Beit Sha'an. The Scythians had their center. His colonies of King Josiah only lasted the length of his reign. When he died, they were finished. We were evacuated. Colonization of activity of King Josiah was in areas which otherwise are known to have been controlled by the Scythians, or at least in areas where the Scythians are known to have been present. Must therefore have been close cooperation between Josiah and the Scythians. At this time, this period, when Josiah reigned over Judea and was extending his domain northward and westward with Scythian cooperation. At this time, when the Scythians ruled over the Assyrian Empire, at this time, there arose in the Scythian area, in Hara, a religious leader named Zarathustra or Zoroastra. Zoroastra originally advocated a Hebrew monotheistic religion. Employed language and expression similar to that found in the books of Deuteronomy and Hosea. When Zoroastra died, his religion was perverted by the Magi and Persian pagans and became just another form of idolatry. Even so, originally it had been monotheistic and biblical. Zarathustra, according to Persian legend and local Jewish tradition, had been taught by Jeremiah the prophet or by one of Jeremiah's pupils. All events historically, the end of about 28 years of Scythian hegemony over the former Assyrian Empire, the Assyrians reasserted themselves. And they intended to take re-control of the empire. The Medes and Babylonians had revolted and they attacked Assyria. In 614 BCE, the Medes began to besiege Nineveh, the Assyrian capital. The Scythians marched to the aid of Assyria. They were originally marching against the Medes and Babylonians, but at the last moment they were persuaded somehow to change sides. And they joined the Medes and Babylonians. And they were the major agents in destroying Nineveh. Nineveh was taken and destroyed with, according to a Babylonian account, Numenmunda, that is the Scythians, playing a major role in the destruction of Nineveh. Shortly afterwards, all of the other Syrian cities were similarly destroyed. The Scythians, the ones who on the whole were responsible primarily for the destruction of the Assyrian Empire and all of the Assyrian cities. In the meantime, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh Necho, marched to the aid of Assyria. He apparently wanted to restore the balance of power. He marched to the aid of Assyria. King Josiah of Judah went out to fight against him. And he was killed at Megiddo in the northern territory of Judah. Pharaoh Necho had warned Josiah, king of Judah, that he, Pharaoh Necho, did not come to fight against him, but rather came to fight against the house wherewith I have war. The house wherewith I have war. See 2 Chronicles, chapter 35, verse 21. Pharaoh Necho said he was going to fight against another house. And then you see the Scythians in the Bible. Two separate paths of Israelites are referred to as the house of Judah and the house of Israel. King Yoshia ben Amon was king over the house of Judah. Pharaoh Necho had come to fight against the Scythians and their allies, and King Josiah was killed fighting on the Scythians' behalf. After defeating and killing King Josiah, Pharaoh Necho continued northwards. He was there defeated at Carchemish in Syria. Scythians, Medes, and Babylonians together destroyed the Assyrian Empire, with the Scythians playing the major part. The Medes afterwards invited the Scythian leaders to a feast. They got them drunk. When they were drunk, they killed them all and massacred them. Medes and Babylonians divided the former Assyrian Empire between them. Henceforth, the Scythians were to be driven out of the Middle East and to the north. Thus, in tribes, spoken on together with King Josiah, the son of Judah, son of Ammon of Judah, in the Bible and in the Talmud. Everything that is said regarding the Dostan tribes in these sources is applicable to the Scythians. And therefore the Dostan tribes are identifiable as Scythians. According to Talmudic sources, King Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, sent the prophet Jeremiah to bring the Dostan tribes back. And some few of them, according to the Talmud, did indeed return for a short time. After the death of Josiah, they returned to their places of exile. The period of Josiah was indeed the same time as that when Zarathustra began his Hebraic biblical type reforming religion, which was later paganized when Zarathustra died. Zarathustra had been linked with Jeremiah in Jewish and Iranian legend, who said that Zarathustra learned from a pupil of Jeremiah. The Scythians had been present throughout the former area of Israel during the reign of Josiah, and shortly after his death, they left. The Scythians must also have been closely cooperating with Josiah, and Josiah died fighting on their behalf. Some of the Scythian tribes had Israelite names. For instance, groups like the Yusubi, and Yusub Gali. Yusubi means Joseph, and Yusub Gali means Joseph of the Galilee. But Joseph of the exiles, the exile of Joseph. Later, the royal Scythians, the leading group amongst the Scythians, reported to worship a god named Aspergus. His name is recognized as being derived from the same Middle East root as the name of Joseph. It is not acknowledged that the god Aspergus is later identified with Joseph. His god was worshipped by the royal Scythians and in effect was a deified form of Joseph, who was the ancestor of many of the leading elements amongst the Scythians. We therefore have quite a few parallels between the Scythians and the Lost Ten Tribes. The Book of Micah in the Bible speaks of the fall of Assyria. Most of the prophecies recorded in the Bible are concerned with events that will occur in the future, in the latter days. Nevertheless, the prophets often use contemporary events to describe things that were destined to happen in the future. The prophets use the events of their own times as frameworks for their prophecies. And therefore, from prophecies, we can sometimes infer what was happening in the time of the prophets, in the biblical period. Prophet Micah says that the exiled Israelites would make peace with the Assyrians. Chapter 5. He said that they would make peace with the Assyrians even though the Assyrians had come into the Israelites' own land and destroyed its palaces. As can be seen by archaeological excavations. After that, Micah says, in verses 5-8 of chapter 5, Micah says that the Israelites would become shepherds, that is, protectors of Assyria. They would then become princes of men, that is, rulers. Finally, it says that they would destroy the cities of Assyria. What Micah says concerning the exiled Israelites was fulfilled by the Scythians. The Scythians did make peace with Assyria. They did become a serious ally. They did then become effective rulers over the Assyrian Empire. And finally, they did destroy, at the changing signs, Assyria's cities. There are other parallels between the exiled Israelites and the Scythians, but for the time we have made our point. The Scythians and the exiled Israelites from the Northern Ten Tribes were one and the same entity, or at least the Northern Ten Tribes were an important portion of the Scythian forces. The Medes, the Media, massacred the Scythian leadership after getting them drunk. The Talmud says that the Lost Ten Tribes came to calamity because of the wine of Phrygia, which was close to the area the Scythians were encamped in. The Medes and Babylonians pushed the Scythians out of the Middle East and into the north. The Scythians went to the former regions of the USSR and to Eastern Europe, which was then known as Scythia. Well, this area was known as Scythia, and from there, the Scythians were destined to migrate further to westward. The Scythians had their own particular art style. The execution of the Scythian art style was the same as that known in the Assyrian Empire as the Phoenician style. Phoenician style had been practiced by the ancient Israelites one authority, Shiloh, suggested that so-called Phoenician star should really be considered Israelite, since the most numerous examples and the best ones were produced by the northern Israelites before their exile. So Sumi is a Phoenician star to the Scythian ones. It has been explained by the Scythians, when they left the Middle East and moved northwards, having taken non-Scythian artisans from the Syrian area with them. Syria, in effect, included Israel. And we know that not only the artisans of the Scythians, but also many of the Scythians themselves were of Israelite origin. It is interesting to note that just based on the similarity of artwork alone, a very similar idea to our own has been coined. That is, that in effect, the Scythians took with them, what does that mean, took with them, or were identical as peoples from the Israelite and the Syrian area. Syria, in biblical terms, was part of the ancient area of Israelite settlement. The Scythians in Scythia, that is, after they had been defeated or betrayed in the Middle East and expelled towards the north, and had gone northwards beyond the Caucasus Mountains, in Scythia, the Scythians were divided into numerous tribes. They are called and recorded by Ptolemy and by Pliny and by other Roman writers. Jewish and local writers say that the Lost in tribes went to Scythia and they located specific Israelite tribes in specific areas. Many of the tribal names of the Scythian tribes are the same as those of Israelite tribes and tribal clans and families within the tribes of Israel, which are recorded in the Bible. Through these names, different Scythian groups can be identified with different Israelite tribes. Once identification of a specific Scythian group with a certain Israelite tribe is made, can then be shown that they are located in the same area as the Jewish and other traditions. So that the tribe spoken of had been founding. We therefore have an identification of Scythian tribes with Israelite ones. From Scythia came the Anglo-Saxons, the Franks, the Scandinavians and other peoples who, due to climatic changes and warfare, were driven out of Scythian stages and then moved to northwestern Europe. In Western Europe, they conquered and merged with the Celtic peoples, who, as we have seen, were also of Israelite origin and had gone to the west and to the north beforehand. The Anglo-Saxons, Jutes and other peoples conquered England. They were Vikings from Scandinavia, who also descend from Israelites. Also settled in England, the movements of all these people from Scythia to western of Europe is proven by archaeological finds and legends. More details will be given in another lecture. In addition, the Israelite origins of these peoples, according to the Bible and their own biblical prophecy, will also be explained in further lectures. For the moment, we are concentrating on history and on historical parallels, and we are giving an idea of what happened and some type of background from which the biblical and further historical evidence can be appreciated. The social organization of the Anglo-Saxons was similar to that of the ancient Israelites. The Franks, Danes, the Angles, the Saxons.